This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us today. 139 days since Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. And here are some facts that you're probably aware of by now. Nearly 500,000 people are still without power. Access to clean water remains a big problem. Tens of thousands have chosen to leave the island, including 25,000 students, and hundreds of schools shut down entirely after the storm. Many have never reopened. Rebuilding will be a long haul. And on Monday, Governor Ricardo Rossello proposed a massive overhaul to Puerto Rico's public education system, setting up a system of charter schools and vouchers, strengthening vocational schools. He also vowed to give teachers in Puerto Rico a pay increase. We have the governor on the line with us now from Puerto Rico. Governor Ricardo Rossello, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you for the opportunity.
Governor, we have a lot to talk about in terms of your island and recovery from the hurricane, but you had a big announcement yesterday about education and the state of public schools in Puerto Rico. What's the status of the schools today in Puerto Rico? How many are up and running, and how many students are you expecting to lose as more and more people head to the mainland?
Well, it's a good question, and that's part of the reason we're fast-tracking our education reform. You know, we already had it as part of our government program, but certainly because of the hurricane, the loss of students, we really need to get a handle on metrics and good accountability on our system. So to answer your first question, we have most of our schools open already. We were pretty quick to do so. Just as a comparison, by the time that New Orleans had one school open, we had over 1,000 of our schools open already. So we have most of the schools open. Those that couldn't open because of significant infrastructure damage, we assigned students elsewhere so that the school year could progress. The announcements are essentially based on three pillars. Number one, it's an overhaul of the administrative structure. In education has been notoriously known in Puerto Rico for being sort of an administrative heavy bag with not a lot of flow through to the students. So we are consolidating many of the intermediate bureaucratic steps. We are creating the figure of the superintendent and some local educational agencies. And we're, for the first time, believe it or not, assigning a budget that is on a per-student cash or money assignment. So we're going to get some visibility, clarity. We're going to make sure that everybody has a full faculty in Puerto Rico and that the ratio between students and faculty is appropriate. The other two components are we're adding charter schools to Puerto Rico so that we can, you know, attack a lot of those schools that haven't done so well and give those children the opportunity to progress. Of course, those schools will be property of the state, but will be administered by non-for-profits, municipalities, academia, or otherwise. And lastly, once we settle down some of these numbers and some of the problems of students leaving Puerto Rico and so forth in the next school year, by the 2019-2020 school year, we're going to have a voucher system so that folks can determine where they take their kids to school.
Well, Governor, I know that you know that a brand new charter plan island-wide and certainly a voucher system are going to be controversial. You might be prepared for that fight. But a lot of schools were closed after the hurricane. Some never reopened. Why is the time now, in your view, for what appears to be a pretty major educational change in Puerto Rico?
Because precisely a lot of the students have left right now, and there really was no handle on a school budget, accountability for it, a per student or per pupil assignment of money. So we really had to change those metrics and push them forward. That allows us now to have a handle on the system and actually invest in the teachers. For example, yesterday we also announced that we were going to give the first raises to teachers in over 10 years in Puerto Rico. And that's precisely because we can rationalize the expenditures in our system. So I think it is urgent, and I think that as part of the process of recovery, it is important that we have a significant focus on getting better schools and getting more options to the parents and to the kids.
And let's talk about the teachers, too, since you mentioned them, Governor. You've got a $1,500 raise for teachers as part of your plan. We have a group of teachers and students from Puerto Rico. They sent us some questions about the educational reforms, knowing that we'd be speaking with you today. And I wanted to play a question to you from Jesus on this very issue that you mentioned.
Governor Rosello, my name is Jesus La Santa. I live in Puerto Rico. How would this educational reform will improve the living condition of teachers?
Well, we're establishing a clear career ladder, which we really didn't have for teachers in the past. So that means that the teachers will be incentivized to either keep on studying, working, get raises for their evaluation, and have a path to progress. This really wasn't clear, in the past couple of years. So in my view, there are more opportunities for teachers. Of course, there is the other side of the equation, which is accountability. There's going to be accountability. We're going to be making sure that teachers, principals, have accountability and show results because failure is just not an option here in Puerto Rico.
And Governor, we got another question from Juan Giusti Cordero, a professor of history, who wants to ask about the education department.
Hello, Governor Rosello. In an interview on Sunday, Puerto Rico Secretary of Education, Dr. Julia Kelleher, said that when she arrived at the department, all her staff had been named and were political appointees of the party in power, that is, your party. How do you plan on eliminating the profound politicization of the education department, and how will the charter school structure, which will involve many outside contractors, avoid reproducing or indeed intensifying that politicization?
Let me address that concern. First of all, I agree. Historically, the education department has been very politicized. That is why I went outside the box and selected a secretary that had no party affiliation, because she wasn't even from Puerto Rico. That's Dr. Julia Kelleher. She has been phenomenal, and she has been creating her team, of course. Once she arrived, you have to understand that the education department is a big monster. It has over 60,000 employees. She didn't have a lot of the people that you should have for certain appointments. So suggestions came all across the board, but she certainly has had the flexibility, and she has done so to select the folks as time comes along. On a merit basis, it has been decades of that politicization that the professor spoke about. And my commitment, and I think I've shown it with actions, is to eliminate that, to put children first, to put options first. And I think that's what this system is going to do. With regards to the charters, charters are going to be evaluated, you know, as any other schools. And if they don't produce results, the good news is that you can change those folks that don't produce results. Our objective and the secretary's objective is to find world-class stakeholders to run these charters, right? So that they have the expertise, the experience, and that they can ensure that the children in Puerto Rico get the best possible education.
Well, Governor, let's step back from your education reform proposals for just a moment and look at the overall recovery in Puerto Rico. The official death toll from Maria was 64 people, but investigations from the New York Times, other news outlets, concluded that the actual death toll may be more than 1,000, 1,050 or more as a result of the storm. You said last month there would be a major investigation looking into the official death toll, what the actual numbers might be, and why the number 64 might be misleadingly low. Where does that investigation stand now?
Well, it's carrying through as we speak. We've established arrangements and collaborations with academia and with our government structure. There's two paths over here. Number one is verifying what the actual certificates say, right? In the onset, the reason why we had such a low number, or perceived a low number, is because we could only tell or establish what were certified deaths. That the doctors established that it was either directly or indirectly related to the storm. So the first step was to go through all of the death certificates once again, call back the doctors, and make sure that if in some cases they established that it was a natural causes, but really it was something due to the storm directly or indirectly, we can account for those. And secondly, there is a more scientific approach to evaluating the deaths. So they are working to give the most accurate sort of predictive number in terms of the deaths. And once the study concludes, we'll certainly make it public.
And Governor, looking forward, before I let you go, tens of thousands of people have left Puerto Rico for the mainland after Hurricane Maria. It's unclear how many will ever return. The island is saddled with debt. You've said it'll be years before that debt can even be addressed because of all of the other priorities now of rebuilding Puerto Rico. What's the future of the island as you see it now? I know you're optimistic, and I know that's part of your job, and I know you love Puerto Rico. Realistically, the next 5 years, 7 years, what do they look like for Puerto Rico? What do you need?
Well, the next year is going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we've just went through the largest natural disaster in the modern history of the United States, not only of Puerto Rico. But really, I think we have an opportunity to rebuild. I think this is critical. And to answer your question, what do we need? We need Congress to act. There is a supplemental, not only for Puerto Rico, but for other states, that has been established, but that hasn't been seen by the Senate yet. We're asking for Puerto Rico to get fair and equitable treatment here. We're asking for, the Medicaid fix, as was done with Louisiana, so that we can get the cost sharing, waived for 2 years. We are asking for tax considerations based on the sort of tax overhaul that really hindered Puerto Rico as a jurisdiction. We're asking for 100% cost sharing from the FEMA programs as well, and some directed funding for certain areas in housing and the energy grid, because Puerto Rico, different to the other jurisdictions, we have a fiscal crunch. So we really need some seed funding to get things started. I know it's been a catastrophe. It's been a challenge. I've been in the center of it. But certainly, as governor, I need to look at the opportunity. And there is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us over here to change the energy grid from a 1950s old energy grid to one that can be a model across the world, leapfrogging into utilities 2.0, changing an education system that doesn't give the service it needs to give to the children for them to be competitive in the real world, to one that actually does and that gives every child the opportunity to move forward, to put some competitive tax components here at the local level, because we sort of got railroaded at the federal level, so that folks can see Puerto Rico as a destination to prosper and to create jobs and alternatives. So, again, I understand that this is a long road ahead, but it's one that I am willing to embark on, that the people of Puerto Rico are willing to embark on, and that if we execute and get the proper resources, it's going to be a great Puerto Rico 5-7 years down the road.
Governor Ricardo Rosselló of Puerto Rico, thank you for your time, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.